Well, hello everybody, and welcome to the Rowing Chat 2021 Olympic Preview, where we're reviewing the qualified crews country by country. Today, my guest and fellow expert for the Great Britain rowing team is Jess Eddy. Jess, welcome to Rowing Chat.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. So we're going to run through the British rowing team, and obviously there's a lot of crews to get through, but just help me out. How many did qualify?
We've got 10 boats qualified, 6 on the women's side, 4 on the men's side. So quite a strong contingent going out to Tokyo.
Fantastic. Let's start then by going through the men's crews. Men's double.
Yeah, John Collins and Graham Thomas, a really strong combination. Both of them are returning. Well, Graham had a really sad story, actually. He flew out to Rio. He was in the men's quad and got sick while we were out there. Absolutely gutting. He had to stay quarantined in the hotel and pretty much get flown home. He was a whisker away from his game. So this has been kind of a 4-5 years of redemption for him. And now he's in a very fast double with John Collins, who raced that double out in Rio. They've had a mixed season, I'd say, but they've picked up medals and a really strong medal at the Europeans. And they're there to, you know, to put the cat amongst the pigeons, I think, this crew, really. They've got the belief. They've got that fire inside them that you can see come out sometimes at Olympic Games. And you never know what's going to come out of them. Strong, strong athletes, experienced athletes, and they had that fire burning in them, and that's what you need in Olympic Games. I would definitely put them up there in the A final. I think they're going to make the A final. Unfortunately for them, the field is super strong. You've got a really fast world champion crew coming from China who raced toe-to-toe with the Irish at the last World Cup in Lucerne, and it showed those two crews both got speed. Two of the fastest crews in the world. So I think that you put them amongst a very fast French men's double as well. They've got it to play for. But I wouldn't put it past John and Graham. I think they've got it inside of them, and a crew that I'm really looking forward to watching. I'm very close to them. I know them well. But yeah, I think they've got a very, very hard field, but they could get up there.
Right. What about the men's quad?
Men's quad, again, they've had an up and down season. They've got some exciting members in that crew, and a mix of experience and inexperience. So Jack Beaumont is in there, who was actually Graham's replacement in Rio, which was a bonus for him. He's not the tallest guy in the world, but he's got a lot of punch to him, and I think he's got that pedigree to lead his crew and take them to great things. And picking up medals through this season has been a reflection of how good they are at sculling. Again, I mean, I'm going to say this a lot. It's a hard field. Men's quad, go back and watch it for the past 20 years. There's always a hair between each crew. And I think that's what they've got to contend with. The difference in the men's quad between A final and B final, between success and failure, is tiny. They've got to get it right. But they're in the right team to do that. The British team is so well prepared, and they could go out there and do it. And I think people like Jack in that crew and Angus Groom in that crew brings that experience. So, I think they're similar to the men's quad. I think that they're the men's double, sorry, they're there or thereabouts, and all to play for. I wouldn't put them at the top of the tree of that field, but I think they're there and thereabouts.
Now let's move to the sweep side. There's a 4 and, of course, the 8. So 4 first.
Oh, men's 4, they've just absolutely taken the world by storm this season. It's been really, really cool to watch them. And it looks like crews of years gone past the men's 4 when they've just gone out and led the field by miles and sat up on everyone. It doesn't look that pretty. If you watch them, the Sholto Carnegie, their stroke man, always looks like he's got no neck, when actually he's quite a tall guy. But they certainly have the racing experience and the power to do very well. I think they've got so much confidence from the season, picking up gold medals left, right and centre, European champions, winning at Lucerne. It's hard to go and win at Lucerne. They've done just that. Okay. So I think in that respect, they certainly can be up there. This is one of the events that I'm worried about, though, because we've not seen the rest of the world. We haven't seen the rest of the world at any of the World Cups, any of the European. We've just seen European crews, and actually not all the Europeans at crews at all the events. Men's 4, the World Champions 2019 of Poland. They've not turned up. We haven't seen them. I mean, yes, they've been there, but they've not raced that fast. If any crews have had a bad time through COVID, you never know how many lockdowns they've been through. Certainly here in the UK, we have millions of them. You don't know how they've got through the past 12 months. They could have a great block between then and now. There's something that's made some world champions. We haven't seen the Aussies at all. We don't know what they're going to be like. And everyone's talking about the Australian. Yeah, exactly. The Australian men's four is the one they're talking about that is going to rival GB's crew. And I think that there could be a chance that that's who could be the ones that knocks this crew or certainly pushes them, because I don't think they've been pushed yet really this season. Ooh. But you've got to give it to them. You know, they've gone out there and won everything, so you can't take it away from the guys. It's really easy to take a punch at them and say, oh, but there might be faster crews. Of course there's going to be faster crews. All we can do in rowing, it's not rugby, we're not affecting our other team, is sit in our lane and do our thing and go as fast as possible. And what they've done this season is learn how to race and win races. That is invaluable. And I think doing that, they've done it week in, week out, and they're producing good stuff. So I think really, really exciting crew to watch. And come on, they're going to win a medal. I think they're going to win a medal. What colour? We all want to win gold in GB, but what colour, I'd say? Someone like Ollie Cook is a really experienced guy in that boat. And someone like Matt Rossiter.
Yeah.
So Matt Rossiter is kind of infamous in GB because he's an outstanding junior at under 23 level and had a chronic injury and was wiped out for, I would say, almost a decade, wiped out of our sport. People told me he would never come back again. He kind of walked away from the sport. Yeah, they completely wrote him off, and he got himself back into the boat. He did a bit of trials. He was on the fringes of it in around 2016 time. And then bang, he just came back into it. He's an outstanding oarsman. And I think that shows in him leading his crew during this. So you're talking about people who have stories, people who have fire in them for these races. He's got it. He spent years on a turbo trainer in rehab on the physio bench. And he'll want this a lot. And I think having that magical combination of people going to a games, they could rival the Australians. And at the moment, they're the crew to beat in the men's four. The Aussies have been watching them all season and looking what they're doing. And I would be nervous looking at a crew that winning by lengths and lengths and lengths if I had to race against them, because rowing is about physicality. It's about endurance. It's about power. It's about technicality. It's about teamwork. It's also about confidence. You know, you've got to rock up on that line and beat the crew next to you. And if you've got the confidence and know-how to win, that takes you a very long way. So men's four, I think they've got some good
thumbs
stuff
up
in the bank.
Yeah. Okay. On to the eight.
Men's A, oh my goodness, probably, I mean, I've got really, Mohamed Sabiri, he's a good friend of mine in the middle of that crew, so I've kind of been through the ups and downs the past 5 years, so thank goodness they're finally winning. But Men's A, I think we've seen some absolutely cracking races then this year. And for me, that race in Lucerne, where they had a sub on board and they still beat the Germans, was unbelievable. It's really hard to bring out your best in Lucerne, and also it's probably impossible, like almost impossible, to bring out your best in Lucerne during the middle of COVID. There's so many different factors, and they had a guy knocked out from their crew for 48 hours before. They didn't go rowing on the Saturday. Bang, have to race Lucerne final in a one-on-one race. That's like a Henley race. It's like a match race. That's kind of so visceral, isn't it? It's so raw. You versus the crew next to you at Lucerne. It never happens. But because of COVID, people can't travel. So that's what we saw. I think they should take so much confidence from that. I actually think they row very well. I think Steve Trapmore, their coach, has given them that kind of, he's Olympic champion from Sydney, and it almost has that look about them, that loose shoulders. They're getting it low down. And our men's team are notorious for, you know, being the strongest, fittest guys out there. And they are. I've always looked at them and thought, oh God, if you could row better, you'd be amazing. And now they are rowing better. I honestly think that. And I think Jürgen's program has delivered them in Jürgen's way and was outstanding. And you can't argue with his record of medals. But now I watch that men's day and I think, wow, you're actually rowing really well. They've got the strongest people in the world in that area. I've no doubt about it. You've got Tom George and Mohamed Sabihi in the middle of that boat, both pull sub 540. Imagine if you teach people how to row that pull sub 540 and, oh, Mo happens to be Olympic champion and Olympic bronze medalist and multiple world champion in the eight. He Wow. knows what he's doing. And it's the same thing I'm talking about the men's four. They know how to win races. And if I ever talk to anyone, I talk about how do you gain trust and confidence and belief in yourself? They're these easy words that we band around. You know, the way to do it is by doing it and winning lots. And that's how you get confidence and belief in yourself. And those guys have started to do that. And they're mixing with someone like Mo, who's sitting in the middle of that boat and bringing them that. It must be really powerful. And I think it's got a really good feeling about them. If anybody follows them on social media or knows any of them, and it looks like they're having a great time. And I think that's half the battle. And I think they are going to be very exciting to watch. They're one of my favorite boats from GB. And I'm biased because I love the 8, fastest boat. But I think they're doing amazing stuff. And I'd love them to go and break the world record or something. You know, I want them to go and do something that really puts them up there.
That sounds like something to aim for. Let's move on to the women's side, starting with the small boats, single scull.
Yeah, the smallest of all. Vicky Thornley, who I know well. I've raced with her at the Olympics. We raced in the 8 together, so she was a sweet rower. And she said it was her goal to be in the single scull. She wanted to do this. I mean, the single scull is almost, I'm biased because I love the 8. I think it's the bestest fast boat. But the single scull is the most threatening boat. You know, it's the most open boat. It's the most vulnerable boat you can find. It's just you and yourself. You've got no one to talk to. You've got no one to help you pull along. There's just you setting the rhythm alongside, you know, 5 other people doing the same thing. And I think the whole attitude of a single sculler is different to anyone else. And I think Vicky has done an incredible job stepping into that boat, winning a world silver medal. And, you know, she's consistently one of the fastest scullers in the world. I think we shouldn't forget that. And it's hard because she hasn't won all the gold medals in 4 years. But who does that? No one. But she's consistently there. And I watched her race in Lucerne against a very strong field. You've got a really fast Russian single sculler that's just jumped on the scene, Han Prokatsin. She's, you know, thrown in a little hand grenade because no one expected her to come along. We kind of wrote her off at the first regatta. We kind of said, oh, she's just qualified for the Olympics. That's why she's so fast. No, she's fast. So you've got the Russian, you've got her to think about. She's got Emma Twigg coming over from New Zealand, who's not raced anyone, but I've no doubt Emma's fast, multiple Olympic champion. This is going to be her 4th Olympic Games, and she's never medaled, and this is why she's come back to win a medal. So I think Emma's going to be dangerous. I think you've got someone like Carling Zeman, who's an absolute machine that is consistently won world medals. We've got to throw into the mix, and you've got Cara Cola from the US. Now, Jevy Stone, the Olympic silver medalist from Rio, got beaten by Cara Cola for that single sculling spot. That shows you how fast and how competitive the American single sculling was. So, and then Carl showed that winning a medal at Lucerne. So I think they're like anything, you know, that event is really, really hard. And it's got a lot of depth and a lot of people that have won medals. But if I was another single sculler around the world, of course you look at Vicky Thornley. She's one of the names. She's one of the fastest people. And you watch that race in Lucerne, she's not far off. And she trains her absolute behind off, let me tell you that. And I think that's something that is going to pay off for Vicky if it's going to be a hard, choppy, long regatta. Vicky, her mentality to training is almost like no other. She will take it that extra notch, and she has done before. She's actually gone over the notch and got over training, but she has really, really buried herself to get to be that single sculler. And I think she will have the fitness to do it. And she will have the experience. She's Olympic silver medalist with Catherine Granger in the double. And I think that single sculling field, a star date. It's one of my favorites. It's going to be an amazing one to watch. I'm glad I'm not fast enough in a single, so I'm glad I won't be in it. But I'm glad that I'm not in it. But yeah, I think Vicky's almost the same as men's double. She could be there. And I really look forward to watching her.
Let's talk about the quad next.
Yeah, the women's quad. Now, these are one of the standout quads from the kind of the season we've had. For me,
little tiny
season we've had, and watching them race and step on. Two big changes from the 2019 crew. We have two new members to that crew. I was about to say Jess Layden, but it's not. Jess Layden's left that crew, and Lucy Glover and Hannah Scott have come into it. So a very old hand, a very experienced person. Jess has not made the crew, so that shows you that the standard is extremely high to even be in it. And the Hodgkin Byrne sisters, who, you know, are GB perennial winners. That I did a thing about them the other day, how many world championship gold medals they got between them. So many. So they are bringing experience of sculling to this crew. And you know what? Sometimes having new people in there isn't a bad thing. If they're there and they've got their merit and they've got there because they're the fastest people, then they're going to bring speed to that boat. And I think it showed that sometimes the naivety of young rowers really helps. And I think they did an outstanding job. And so they didn't race at Lucerne. They were ill there. But if you watch them race in Varese, they were fast and they were absolutely there. And I think that's the whole point. You don't want to see the crews that were out the back door. They were in the mix of things. Now, another outstanding crew that I did watch in Lucerne was the Chinese women's quad. So I think...
Oh my, weren't they impressive?
Yeah, you suddenly had a quad that...
Let's keep the focus on Great Britain for now, rather than...
So, well, this is one of the main big rivals. I'd say you want to be looking at and seeing where the medals are going to come from. The Chinese are fast. The Netherlands are really fast. The Germans are starting to go a bit faster. So I think that GB quad could be there, or could be around the bottom medals. It depends how fast and what training they've done between the last World Cup when we last saw them and now. And they're about to fly out in a few days' time to Tokyo. Can they get that right? I hope so. There's no one in that crew that's been to Olympic Games, which is probably not ideal. You kind of want that practice. But if anyone could do it, the Hodgkins-Burns sisters could do it. And I think their level of experience and how many times they've won races hopefully will come through. And I'm excited to watch that quad.
Right, we're going to move on to the sweep side. Let's start with the pair.
Yeah, women's pair. So the dream team. They're probably one of our flagship boat. If you want to talk about women's pairs rowing, Helen Glover and is going to be up there in any conversation you'll ever have about pairs rowing. Double Olympic champion, multiple world champion, a one-time world record holder. She's absolutely outstanding. And you pair her with Polly Swan. Polly is one of the fieriest, punchiest rowers you'll ever come across. And you put them together and they're very fast. They're world champions. They won the world championship in 2013. And sometimes it's easy for everyone, me included, to talk about Helen. But Polly and Helen together are world champions. I think Helen, you know, in the past 2 months has probably got more sleep than she's ever had in 3 years. She's got a one-year-old and two-year-olds. So she's got two one-year-olds. She's got twins. She's got three kids. I think we saw them race at Europeans. They won in a very close race. So gold medal, yes. Very close. And they almost have the field that I think will be behind the top end of the field in Tokyo. But I think they'll be in that top end. I don't think they'll be messing around with the Spanish and those guys anymore, the Romanians. I think they'll be long gone. And I think they'll have picked up speed. I think they'll have picked up extra rest. I think they'll have picked up rowing together time, which they've not had. Like Polly just come back as well. We can't forget. She took time out to finish her medical degree. So the combination of those two together. And if you want to talk about fire, if you want to talk about that Olympic flame through the middle of a race, Polly's going to give you that. She sat behind me in Rio. I know what it feels like. And I think Helen is probably one of the most outstanding athletes GB have ever seen in any sport. So I think those two together, I think we're seeing a medal from them. I'd love it to be gold. It'd be unreal if it was gold. I think there's some very fast crews. I think the New Zealand team are very fast in the pair, world champions. And then you go back another year and you've got the Canadians who are world champions. You go to the Aussie women's pair who really pushed the Kiwis to that gold medal. I think it's a really deep field. You've got the Americans. You've got Megan Calmer coming back for her fourth games in the pair. And that's a competitive boat because they, again, as Cara Collard did, you have to fight off to get that slot. So they were fast enough to be the pair. They row very differently to our pair. We've seen them rowing. They've got a bit of grunt about them, whereas I think Helen and Polly actually row the boat a lot better than them. So if Helen and Polly can pick up speed, pick up fitness between May and July, I think Helen and Polly will be pushing the Kiwis.
Let's see if that happens. We've now got just two boats left. We've got the four and the eight. What's happening in the women's four?
Yeah, so the four's an exciting boat. We've not been allowed in the Olympic Games. Thank you very much, IOC. So we actually, women's rowing was only allowed into the Games in 1976, so relatively not that long ago. It's kind of crazy in terms of that. The women's four, luckily, the IOC realised there needs to be parity and needs to be fair boats. So the women's four's come in. I'm a bit too late for me, gutted, because I would love to race the women's four. but it's come in for the first time. And you've got a crew that's been taken out of the women's eight that qualified in 2019 and been put into the four. So it looked at as a faster chance of winning a medal. You've got one of the only remaining other remaining members. So Polly was from the women's eight that won silver. And now you've got Karen Bennett, who stepped into that boat. And with Rowan McKellar, Rebecca Shorten, and Harriet Taylor. So they're a fast combination. I know they've got the physicality. I hear their scores. I know what they do. I mean, you just got to look at the girls. Go look at some pictures of the four. They look like athletes. And I think that combination could be really dangerous. And I think it's funny looking at people because you see the big, punchy, loud rowers, whereas Karen is much more of a quiet rower. She was our seven seat in Rio, and you couldn't ask her about a seven seat because she's the kind of person that will deliver you a race day in, day out. She keeps it calm. She keeps her head. You don't have to be that loud, shouty person. She'll just deliver it. And she's got ice in her veins. And I think off the water, she's the kindest, warmest person. We call her, she's a green colour. So she's always caring about people and what they think and making sure everyone's okay. Put her in a rowing boat and she will deliver. And she's shown that because she wasn't in the four. When it got announced last year, she was in the eight and she's fought her way back into that four. And actually, I think that's the right decision. I think she'll add a bit more to that boat and she'll bring experience to it. And I keep saying that you can't underestimate, even though we don't know what this game is going to look like, but from my experience, going to the games is 10 times flashier, more attention, more people ringing you and calling you and sending you messages. So even if there's not the people in the crowd shouting at you, you're going to get a lot more attention. This is, you've got different kit, you've got different sports around you. It's not just rowing anymore. All of that, you've got people that you went to primary school messaging you saying you could look, and that's lovely, but it adds up and it's a snowball. And that can sometimes bring out, make a diamond with that pressure, or it can, you know, make you into a bit of dust. I think that you've got to be able to cope with all that extra stuff. And hopefully these people have been told about this, and I know they have. So Frances Horton has done a bit of work with them, and I've spoken to quite a few of the crews, and they know it. And you can be told until the cows come home, but until you experience it, you can't know what it feels like. You can be told how good something tastes, but until you actually eat it, you don't know what it tastes like. And I think that's what the Olympics is like. And I think they can either thrive in that situation or they can really disintegrate. And I think the women's four, having Karen step into their boat now, she'll keep them calm. She'll tell them what to expect, and they can trust in her. She's a really trustworthy person. She's not going to lie. She's not going to, you know, pull the wool over their eyes. And I think having Karen up in that boat will add quite a lot. And I think they're going quite fast. And I think there'll be a crew, a similar one. We've got so many crews that are there or thereabouts, and we just don't know. We haven't seen half of the world. So let's see. We've got the Aussies, who are the world champions, coming back into the event. Let's see how fast they are. Got them coming back along. We've got the Americans, who will have a faster crew. I think their women's sweep team have actually picked up since 2019. I think they've actually stepped on. They've got quite a few people back into the mix. So I think we've got a few.
Priority boat. Is it the four or the eight?
The four is being the priority. So we've got, you kind of got a funny combination because Helen's just come back. So Helen and Polly are in the pair, who are going to be our flagship crew. And then you've got the four. The four is being looked at the priority. The eight, if we want to move on to the eight, eight is my event and I love it and I really support those girls. And I think they've got some exciting members in that crew. I don't know how fast they've gone between the last World Cups and now. We don't know. We've not seen them. But from what we've seen from this year, it's going to be a building and an experience for them. Yeah. And it's actually one of the most stacked events. I've been to Olympics where they're not as stacked as this. You know, you've got the Kiwis, who are world champions. You've got the Aussies, who are there and very, very fast. Yeah. You've got the Romanian crew, who are European champions. You've got a very strong American eight coming back into the mix. You've got Canadians, who are multiple world medalists and there or thereabouts. And then, bang, suddenly on the scene, anyone that watched it, the Olympic qualifying regatta, China. China qualified the women's eight, and they looked just as outstanding as their women's quad, I thought. I thought they rowed very, very well. And I think they're partly coached by our coach from Rio, Paul Thompson. Yeah. And I think they will ruffle a few feathers, I think, the Chinese women's eight, more so than we've ever seen from a Chinese woman eight before, I'd imagine. So I think they have it a hill to climb. Maybe yeah. I can put it like that. And if they've got the metal and the character, and if they had a good 6 weeks between the last World Cup and the games, anything can happen. Yeah. I've been to World Cups where I came fourth or fifth and then won medals at the World Championships six weeks later because we had a good training block. So if they can go away and do that and found some speed, and I hope they have, they've got a silver medal to defend.
Yes,
so anything could happen, and there's only 7 boats qualify for the A. Yeah. So they're going to be there, and they've got to see what they can bring to the field on the day.
Jess, thank you so much. It's been a delight having you summarise everything that's happening in the Great Britain rowing team.
No problem.
So till next time, when we're going to be bringing you another country for our 2021 Olympic preview, this has been Rowing Chat. See you soon.